More interesting developments along the Mexico-Guatemalan border. We're going to talk about the caravan on today's episode of The Hot Zone.
This is The Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, Chuck Holton here. It has been incredibly beautiful, more so than normal here in Panama for the last few days. This is the windy season, so typically we get lots and lots of very strong winds this time of year. The last 4 days, it's been perfectly still. I don't know why, but we're loving it. The breeze is starting to come back a little bit now, but nothing like it has been. It's really been incredible. So I wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on in Mexico along the Guatemalan border. You know, we had this Honduran migrant caravan that came. It was a new caravan. Many of the people in this caravan, you have to remember, consisted of people who had already been to the United States with one of the earlier caravans and had been denied entry. So these are second timers or sometimes even third timers that are trying to get through. And if you ask them, every one of them is saying, I'm coming for economic reasons. I'm coming because I can't get a job in Honduras. We can't make enough money to live. And the only place we can go to make enough money is the United States. Well, that's not true. They can go other places and get jobs. They could go to Ecuador. They could go to Colombia. They could go to Argentina. They could go to, Panama. They could go to Mexico. Belize, they could go lots of places and try to get work. And some of those places are much closer, much safer, believe it or not, and much easier because they would be able to speak the language. But they are, the reason that they're coming to the United States is because they can make $10, $15 an hour. And so you don't need $10 or $15 an hour to live well in Honduras or Guatemala. You don't need more than $25 a day to live okay in Guatemala and Honduras. But the idea that you can make $15 an hour, basically, imagine, let's say you make $300 a day, and somebody told you that all you had to do was cross a barbed wire fence between here and Canada, and Canada would pay you $300 an hour. Well, I mean, who wouldn't line up for that? I mean, there'd be a lot of people forming caravans to go to Canada, I promise you. And not only that, but in Latin America, there's no such thing as free schooling. There's no such thing as mandatory health care. I mean, you go to the emergency room in the United States, they cannot turn you away in most cases. And it's not like that in most of Latin America. So there's a lot of kind of side benefits other than be able to work and make more money. And as we saw while we were in Guatemala, a lot of the people that are going there are sending their money home in remittances and using that money to build gigantic houses for themselves. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't necessarily fault them for that, but it does represent a large drain on the U.S. economy because there are literally probably over $100 billion a year that are leaving the United States in remittances. More than $50 billion of that goes to Latin America. And that's money that's not being recycled into the U.S. economy, being spent in the United States. So, as you know, I was in Guatemala and Mexico last week with my friend Todd Benzman. Todd is a senior fellow at the Center for Immigration Studies. And so I helped Todd put together a very in-depth piece about everything that we saw while we were down there. And I want to play that for you now.
They call this elderly Mexican native Mama Africa for good reason. For years, she has purposefully cooked the cheapest, best-tasting food in Tapachula, the biggest border city in southern Mexico, for ever-increasing numbers of African migrants entering her native country from nearby Guatemala on their fantastic global journeys to the American southern border. The smuggling grapevine stretching all the way to the dark continent sang her praises, And as they track down her famous eatery, left an informal record of Mama Africa's years of feeding and advising on the walls of her restaurant. Somalis, Eritreans, Yemenis, Ethiopians, Ghanaians, Cameroonians, Congolese, and from Burkina Faso. But these days, Mama Africa notices that migrants from all over the world are entering Tapachula in the greatest numbers she's ever seen. Her restaurant fills all day with hungry migrants from beyond Africa, from Bangladesh, Iran, Yemen, and Pakistan. Her observation is in sync with that of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Commissioner Mark Morgan, who noted that President Trump's immigration policies had sharply reduced mass migration of Central Americans through Mexico the last few months.
We've made tremendous strides, again, close those loopholes. What we are seeing, though, is a change in the demographics, though. And you and I talked about this, and this what happens often is, it's not a surprise to us, is that the cartels and human smuggling organizations, they'll change their what we call TTPs, tactics, techniques, and procedures. So they saw that we were making progress towards stemming the flow of illegal immigration from the Northern Triangle countries, really taking billions of dollars out of their pockets, and they shifted.
But not so much a new problem with migrants he calls extra-continentals.
Indians, Africans, Haitians, Brazilians, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. That's what we refer to as extra-continental, other than Northern Triangle countries.
Do you have numbers on how many we were seeing that are extra-continental?
Yes, total. I mean, we're seeing thousands of each of those groups, and we're seeing from this time last year, we're seeing an increase sometimes 200-300% of what we saw last year. Now, overall, those numbers relatively are fairly manageable, but when you start combining it, and then again, you start seeing it as an increased issue, we need to get out in front of it.
These are non-Spanish-speaking migrants who hail from some of the bloodiest hotspots in Africa, South Asia, and the Middle East. By citing this as an increased issue, Morgan means national security. Among extracontinentals are those from some 35 countries rife with Islamic terrorist groups and extremists, known to Homeland Security as special interest aliens. They typically fly into a South American nation and then move along established routes from Colombia through Panama's rugged Darien Gap jungle, and then on to Mexico. The question Homeland Security is duty-bound to answer is whether any of them are war criminals, murderers, or terrorists, especially problematic when most arrive with no identification. In Tapachula, just days after a DHS alert warned of four suspected Iranian terrorists en route through Central America, I met and interviewed special interest aliens from countries of terrorism concern, like Pakistani migrant Asif Khan. The 30-year-old said he was an engineering school graduate back home, but proved evasive about pertinent details of his story when I interviewed him, like his explanation for leaving Pakistan. He just told me, "I had some problems." And quite unlike most extracontinental migrants I'd spoken to, Khan said he evaded new Mexican requirements, that he register with the government and apply for Mexican asylum. He was off-grid here, hoping to find a smuggler. Should Khan ever reach the U.S. border, American intelligence officers may or may not be able to learn much about Mr. Khan, like if that's his real name, before he is waved into the country on a probable asylum claim. Since 2016, more than 1,000 Pakistanis have been caught crossing the American border between ports of entry. American Homeland Security regards Bangladeshis as special interest aliens of higher risk too, because terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS operate in that Muslim-majority country. Mama Africa told me of Iranians, Somalians, Syrians, and lots of Yemenis, that they were in town coming to eat at her restaurant. I saw and met many Bangladeshis too. Thousands of Bangladeshis have been caught at the U.S. border in the last 5 years, 1,200 just in 2018. Here's the problem for American Homeland Security that CBP's Acting Commissioner Morgan referenced. Under President Donald Trump's tariffs threat in June 2019, Mexico deployed 6,000 National Guard troops to stop a mass migration through its territory of mainly Central Americans. Mexico began deporting anyone who didn't want to apply for Mexican asylum, and making those who did wait in southern Mexico, forced to comply, kept from moving forward by those National Guard at interior roadblocks. On top of all that, any Central American who made it to the American border anyway, using expensive smugglers, stood a good chance of being pushed right back into Mexico. Except for extracontinentals. They were exempt. At first, Mexico let them, the non-Spanish speakers, through their new cordon. DHS officials tell CIS that almost all extracontinentals who got to them at the American border would be waived right into the United States on asylum claims. But today, only the Mexicans have begun doing anything about this human traffic. They've started trapping them in southern Mexico right alongside the Central Americans. But American Homeland Security sources admitted to CIS that the Americans are still letting in all extracontinentals and special interest aliens who can get past the Mexicans, creating intolerable frustration among them in Tapachula and keeping the incentive on for them to either bust through or force the Mexicans to change this policy. The result? Riots and disturbances among extracontinental migrants in southern Mexico. American government sources tell CIS that American pushback policies, like one requiring migrants apply for asylum in the first country outside their own, the so-called safe third country rule, are not being applied to those from Africa or the Middle East. Although many extracontinentals may pass through 5 or even 10 such countries, they still get waived through the American turnstile, exempt from all of Trump's new policies. Meanwhile, Mexico can't readily deport special interest aliens and Africans because home countries have to agree to take them. And Syria, Iran, Cameroon, the Democratic Republic of Congo don't exactly keep diplomatic staffs on hand in Mexico. There's some evidence that just Mexico's policy is starting to reduce the influx of extracontinentals. The numbers of arriving Africans registering in Mexico dropped in December for the first time in a year, said Claudio Briceño, head of the Mexican agency that processes new migrants in, COMAR. In December, it all went down, she told me. Nigeria, Congolese, Cameroonians, because now Mexico is full of checkpoints. This Cameroonian named Peter, waiting to register outside her agency, told me he spent $9,000 to be smuggled this far, and then Mexican National Guard ruined that massive investment by pulling him off a bus several hours north of here and sending him back to a Tapachula detention center. With no money to go home, he'll apply for Mexican asylum, which will disqualify him for American asylum for years. Here's what he told me. They say it takes 6 months to get the asylum. I don't even want to be here 1 month. But what Peter said next shows why fewer Cameroonians appear to be coming now, with just Mexico stopping them. He is telling all of his friends and family back home, "I tell them never to attempt to come here. This is another nightmare. I can't advise no one to come. If I knew I couldn't pass through, I wouldn't have come here." Such messaging is a powerful deterrent to his fellow citizens back in Africa, who would not be willing to risk a $9,000 fortune for Peter's outcome. Still, the American door is wide open, and other extracontinentals are still trickling right through under current policy. Leaders like CBP's Mark Morgan will have to answer a question. Should the United States finally start applying its new pushback policies to them now? Until that happens, American Homeland Security will have to gamble that they can properly and thoroughly vet them all before they are released to make sure none are war criminals, murderers, or terrorists, especially problematic when most arrive with no identification.
This is Todd Bensman
with the Center for Immigration Studies.
All right, folks, I hope you enjoyed that. And I hope you'll go and subscribe to Todd's email list, to his Facebook and Twitter feeds, because the Center for Immigration Studies is full of incredible information, some really good stuff that you need to know to be well-informed about the immigration issue. And so check it out, Center for Immigration, that's CIS.org. We'll see you again on The Hot Zone. Take care.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.